as we continue to be in the presence of God himself, I'm going to invite Paul to come and tell us about receiving and giving that which God wants to give.
Still feeling quite rested, really.
Thank you for allowing me to be with you today. It's good to be here to share with you in your service. Although, when Carl asked me as a retired defunct Baptist minister to come here today, he told me that you'd been looking at spiritual gifts and God's gifts and so on. Alarm bells begin to ring, you know, because the problem often is that spiritual gifts in the church can be a bit on the controversial side. And I was thinking, now, is he trying something cunning here, you see, to get some poor sap from outside to do all the hard stuff so that he'd be all right? Well, that was a very naughty thought, I have to say. And indeed, as I looked at the passage that Carl gave to me, I realised that couldn't possibly be true. Because what the passage, it's not one of the more extensive passages about spiritual gifts you'll find in the New Testament. It's not one of the more controversial ones in the sense. What it struck me as being was one of the most important ones. Because it doesn't say anything particularly controversial. It just says what really matters. What's really crucial when it comes down to virtually anything in church life, but particularly when it comes down to doing those things, engaging in those practices, seeking God for more, which is inevitably anxious territory in a sense. It becomes trying the new thing or going back to perhaps the old thing and renewing it and so on. And none of that is necessarily particularly easy for ordinary human beings like us. So what I've got is basically the least controversial stuff, but the most important stuff. So thank you very much, actually, Carl. It's very kind of you to let me do that, because you don't always get to do that sort of thing. What I want to do really is, I think verse 8 is the verse around a lot of this circulates at the moment, where Peter says, above all, love each other deeply. Love each other deeply. Essentially, what he's speaking about there is what is the most basic and fundamental thing to the whole of Christianity, which is that there should be love, and for there to be love, there must be relationship. It's not possible to love in a vacuum. You can't just stand there exuding it. It's got to go to someone because it's about relationships. It's about how we are connected supremely and first of all with God. And indeed, it's actually about what the Bible speaks of as covenant love. Covenant being a word that speaks of not just any old relationship, but one that is committed, that is firm, that's determined, that's completely engaged with the other, as it were. Marriage is such a relationship. We talk about that as a covenant relationship. But most especially, it underlines what God has always wanted with his people. In the Old Testament through into the New Testament, it's the nature of the relationship that we're meant to have with him. So it's a covenant with God. And indeed, when Peter speaks of the end of all things is at hand, therefore be sober and be alert that you may pray. The word he uses there is not particularly a prayer about asking for things. It's about a prayer that's formed in worship. It's about a prayer that speaks of, well, the natural conversation that one person who loves another might have with that person. But raised to a far higher and far greater height, if you like, that relationship that we have with God. So the exercise of spiritual gifts flows naturally and most effectively when it's recognised it's part of our relationship with God. Not something strange, not something odd, because in a loving relationship you give and you receive, don't you? And so, not surprisingly, there is giving to be done. Sometimes of things that are very obvious and straightforward, if you like, and that we could all see, well, that's not a problem, the giving of life, the giving of salvation. But also sometimes other things which are different, which are for other people as well as ourselves, prophecy. Well, the two things that's mentioned particularly here, speaking and serving, prophecy and service and so on. These are things which flow out of relationship first and foremost. And really and truly, in order to be people who receive gifts to pass on to others, the first thing is to be quite clear about where we are with God, what our relationship with Him is like, whether it's formed in honesty and truthfulness and basic desire for more. Those are the important things that being alert and being of a sober mind that Peter talks about. It's engaging with that sort of thing. This is a serious business, if you like. Not serious in the sense of dour-faced, but serious in the sense of really significant. This is stuff that matters. And it's important, therefore, that when we seek to be people that God might use in his service and in gifting and all the rest of it, firstly, we submit to God. And we recognise that it's out of a relationship with him that these things come. But secondly, there is also a covenant. Hang on, there we go. There's also a covenant which speaks of our relationship with God's people too. Now, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 about the fact that, you know, if someone brings a prophetic word, it should be weighed up by the people present there and to see, you know, whether what's right in it, what isn't necessarily right in it. In 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about the fact that whenever we exercise even the most clear-cut spiritual gifts, we're human beings and they're not perfect. There's always going to be a bit of a rough edge or something not quite right or whatever. So there's a sense in which we need each other's wisdom to sift what we are, what we're doing and so on, so that we can, what we produce then it is genuine and is honest and will actually have a good effect. But I think there's something more profound in this passage that really struck me, which hadn't particularly hit me before. Verse 9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And you might think, well, what's hospitality got to do with spiritual gifts? Well, actually, in the early church, it was really very important. Because the early church was serviced, if you like, by a number of people who travelled around. Apostles like Peter, but there were prophets and folk like that, who moved around amongst the churches, sharing what God had given them with the newly grown churches. They were very important in this way. And the only way they could do that was if they were given hospitality. Because, you know, the lamb wasn't there, for instance, you know, in New Testament times. There were not the sort of places you could stay. It had to be hospitality given by the community of God's people. In fact, this was so important that there's actually a book called the Teachings of the Twelve Apostles, which was written rough, probably in the second century. It nearly got into the Bible, but didn't quite. And it's actually a list of how you do things in the church. And one of the things there is how you discover whether a prophet is genuine or not. And one of the things, you can tell if a prophet is genuine or not, he's not genuine if he overstays his welcome. If he takes advantage of hospitality, in other words. If he takes advantage of God's people's gifts, of God's people's love, of God's people's care. But I think there's something even more important, not just, you know, in that sort of specific way for specific, but in general terms, this is talking about context, the atmosphere that a church needs to have if it's going to be a welcoming place for God's gifts to be distributed. I don't know that there's a lady in the last church I was pastor of. I don't think she'd agree with this, but I could say that she was a sort of prophetic cartoonist. Now, by that, I mean she would occasionally draw pictures and things to express what she thought was happening around her and what was going on in the church. And on one occasion, she drew this cartoon, which was of our church, after the morning service in the hall downstairs where we all gathered for coffee. And what she drew were lots of groups of people in different parts of the room, all looking at one another. And then there were a few poor little individuals just around and about who couldn't get a look in anywhere. And we realised that was actually a picture of our church. We were really good with one another, but if you came in from outside, no one, you know, the groups didn't open up, you know, to let people in. There was not, in a sense, although it was coffee being served, that's all about hospitality, aren't we a good church doing that? What was going on from the heart was actually keeping people out. We were happy with one another, with what we were doing together, with with how we were building one another up, but we were forgetting that God wanted to add to his people. And that those he was going to add would not necessarily be automatically people who could easily come in and find a place amongst these groups of folk. Because they would be people not like us. And we had to learn something really quite profound from that about how we were as a church. And it was actually, I'm more and more concerned, it was about hospitality. The word literally means the love of strangers. The love of strangers. And so being, if you have an environment where strangers are welcomed, it's not difficult to then welcome God's strange gifts, maybe, sometimes, when he does things we're not quite expecting. When we have an environment where love is so deep, if you like, that is actually expressed in an overflowing hospitality, it gives people a sense, well, I can try things here. It's safe here. One of the things about spiritual gifts of whatever nature is that we don't always get it right. We sometimes get it wrong. And that can sometimes be one of the biggest inhibitions to actually getting it right. Because we're so frightened we won't do the right thing, we never do anything. In an atmosphere where there's genuine hospitality, a genuine openness to people, a recognition, a loving caring for people, then it's a place where you can actually fall flat on your face but still be lifted up and still carry on. And that's so very important. Actually, it's very important about life generally. But particularly when we're trying to be more open to God, when we're trying to grow closer to him, which is never the most straightforward thing for poor, sinful people like us. It's not easy, is it? But God's at work when we allow, we help to create the right atmosphere where all this can take place. So, it's about covenant with God's people. But then just one other thing. This atmosphere, this context that we're trying to develop, where God's Spirit can work amongst us, it needs to be one of care as well. Again, love deals with that. Again, hospitality deals with that. Again, the need to be alert, to be so much, it's talking about that as well. And I suppose it's care, first of all, that is a sort of a carefulness. So that at the very end there, it says, if you're going to speak as the words of God. If you're going to serve, do it as God provides the strength to do it. So the carefulness that's needed here is a reminder that whatever spiritual gifts are going on, whether they're being exercised, whether it's something like prophecy or whether it's something like administration, it's about what God's doing. And it's about how God is active amongst us. And that means, therefore, that these are things from God that we should use in order to honour God. These are things that are not to draw attention to me. They're not about me at all. They're very much about God. So that if we exercise any particular spiritual gift or any function in the life of the church, it's not there to draw attention to ourselves. It's not there to satisfy ourselves. It's there that God might be honoured. Simply and straightforwardly. Humility is a word that turns up quite a lot in the New Testament, actually, with respect to ministry in general terms. In Ephesians chapter 4, you know, be worthy of the calling you have received in full humility. In other words, we need to take that sort of care, which is always being aware, just one ear to what I'm feeling myself and whether it's quite right, as well as another ear to God seeing what he wants. But of course, and supremely, there is also care as love, as Paul speaks about it here. As that sort of undeserved kindness and affirmation that God gives us. So we go back to that verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply. It's a fascinating phrase there. The word deeply actually comes from a word relating to stretching. To really reaching out, to trying to make it really work. So there's a sense here in what Peter is saying is that this love needs to be a love that stretches out towards people. But stretches out with our imagination as well. Stretches out with our energy as well. Love is something which we receive from God. But if you look at the way God's love has been shown to us, don't you find it amazing? and strange, in a sense. What's a supreme picture of God's love to us? It's a symbol of murder and execution, the cross. But that's the picture of how much God loved us, to submit himself through his Son to the very brokenness of our humanity in order that he might put us back together again, to show us just how much he loved us by allowing us to completely reject him, because that's what happened on the cross. And in so doing, he could then bring us back to him and back to one another as well, to draw, no longer being enemies, but now being friends, companions. That's the love that Peter's speaking about here. This is something that where a church is open to the presence of God in spiritual things, it will need to have supremely this understanding of love at its heart. Because, well, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, was it? I may speak in tongues of angels, but if I don't have love, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. There's a word to all preachers for a start off. But it applies in all sorts of different ways. That actual, intentional, caring love is what really matters. Covenanted care, if you like. That's the if you want a phrase to go with so you don't forget, there it is, all right? You know, I'm trying to do all the right things, preaching here, all the rest of it. But the heart of it at the end of the day is it comes from God in his love, returns back in love, will bless others in love, and always will bring praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That last verse at the end there. God provides so that in all God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. I don't think Peter just put that in because that sounded like a good way of ending a sermon or something like that. That's there. Because that's the thing that really matters, ultimately. That God is lifted up. That God's power is allowed to be seen. But it's God that we're seeking to lift up. God we're seeking to bless. God we're seeking to see at work and in action and amongst us and around us. Because at the end of the day, it's possible to do even spiritual things without God. You know, the spiritual gifts you refer to in the Bible, a lot of other religions, you'll find similar things happening in them. It's true. That's what there is to it. The critical thing, therefore, is this: that which comes from Jesus Christ in the love of God by the power of the Spirit. It's worth asking the questions I put up there just to make sure there's a bit of application to this rather wide-ranging, free-flowing sermon, as it were. How are we on these things as God's people? It's interesting that he speaks about love that covers a multitude of sins. Well, are there any things that do need to be sorted out? I think that's what he means by that. That love will address issues and get them sorted. Because you can do it if you love. If you know you're loved, then if you've gone wrong, you know help will come to put you right. You won't be frightened of it. It's only when condemnation comes in we get really troubled. It's only when, you know, the thing that Ronnie was telling us about. When we're sort of hammered with condemnation, that we can't get away from the wrong. But when we know we are loved deeply by God, well, yes, even the worst things we've done, we can take to him. Because we know he's not going to beat us up. He's going to lift us up. He's not going to try and grind us into making us something that we're not meant to be. He will open us up into being the sort of people we can be in God. Is there any self to be overwhelmed in God's love then? Because that's usually the problem, isn't it? Come on, let's face it, you know. I like standing up here, it gives me a buzz. And it does, frankly, you know. I have to watch that sort of thing. Because it can get in the way of actually doing what God wants and offering what God is offering rather than what Wills is offering. And we need to just test that sometimes. You know, do I need to be renewed in God's love so that myself will not get in the way of things? Is there still more growing I need to do? Says the end of all things is near. The word that's used for end means completion. It doesn't just cut off. It means things coming to a place where they are full and complete and whole. And however you understand that in terms of the Lord's coming, nevertheless, it's a process that's going on. And the completion is beginning, has been given for a long while, is taking place. So how do we need to keep growing? And above all, what way can we glorify God? What way can we say, can we just realise it came from him? It's what he's doing, it's what he's giving. And assign that to him, as it were, rather than let it be resting upon ourselves. This is the context in which spiritual gifts do and will grow. In a place where there's a genuine relationship with God and with one another. Where there is an openness to God, but also to one another, and a willingness to weigh things up, but a willingness to encourage and to give people the opportunities to be, to try things out, to have a go at what God may be giving. So that there is an atmosphere of genuine welcome and hospitality for the things of God, the things of humanity. That's the place where God says, I can live there. I can be there. Because that's his nature being expressed, isn't it? Elsewhere in the Bible, John says, God is love. And the depth of that we're not going to go into now, because that'll be another several hours of sermon. But it's the heart of what we're about. And as we realise that, and as we allow God's Spirit to just make that real to us, then all sorts of things can happen. Some will be amazed, others will not, but they'll be good when it's done whether we love each other deeply and when we love God deeply. Let's pray just for a moment, shall we? Lord, on my part, sometimes I get to a point in the sermon like this and I just don't have anything else to say, so I need to stop. But there simply needs to be, Lord, something said, and that something is thank you. Thank you that you do give good gifts to your people. Thank you that you don't keep looking, as we often do, at our failings. You rather look at how we've been forgiven and lifted up. Thank you, Lord, that you don't just consider us at our lowest, but you see us at our highest. And we bless you for that. And we would simply ask, Lord, that you will help us to engage in this deep love that you speak of here in this passage. And that we might be people who will contribute to the welcome, to the hospitality, to the gracious love of this place. And indeed of all places where we're able to express our Christian faith and our love for you. And Lord, perhaps most importantly in that sense, help us that our love for you may grow. Help us to just gently shift self aside and to allow the richness of who you are to be seen in us more and more. And help us to therefore give to you honour and praise that isn't going to come because we should do it, or because it's how we do it in this church, but which comes simply because we want to offer it. Because we have discovered how much we are loved. And in that covenant love, we seek to respond back to you. Lord, thank you. Be with us. Bless us. Let your love flow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to finish with some more sung worship. Appropriately, Lord, I come before your throne of grace. This is the place that we come to. This is where we find God's love. I know it's for us.